Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Echo Season 1, Episode 1, Chaffa. Oh, that emotive set we have some amount of control over.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall. And I'm Jeff Randall. Get it? It's Echo.
Oh, man. Randall. Yeah. So we just watched Echo, that first episode of the new series.
Chaffa.
What'd you think, man?
We stopped watching. All five episodes dropped.
Yep.
We're not binging. Mm-mm. We're trying to be controlled, like in the Netflix days.
Like Netflix days. Yep.
And speaking of Netflix days.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we're back to the brutality of the Netflix days.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just even just showing that wound of hers was pretty rough, you know?
It's
very brutal. So some of those fight sequences were crazy good. They did a long one-er. It's very, very Daredevil inspired. The way they're making the show. And speaking of
spoiler alert,
Daredevil.
Charlie Cox showed up.
Charlie Cox was there.
In a great fight scene.
Also, one of the only scenes we've had set in the blip, I believe.
Was that set during blip?
Because it was shortly after Ronan killed her father.
Yeah.
My one negative about this episode, if I have one, and I think it's really fun, but 29 minutes of recap for those of us who've seen Hawkeye, like there's a couple new scenes in there, but not a lot. Like there's the beginning where she's a child.
Mm-hmm. Backstory on how her leg was lost.
Yes, and how she lost her mother. And there's the wonderful Daredevil scene. And there's a couple of great... There's a great scene in the limousine with Fisk when he's, you know, recruiting her, which reminded me so much of the Fisk who recruited Bullseye.
Oh, yeah.
The way he uses their pain or their trauma to, like, inspire them to join his criminal enterprise.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
Channel that rage into something more productive.
That is classic Kingpin. And driving her to, murder. Like, she's not just a criminal, not just like a, you know, she's a straight up cold murderer by the end of this episode. And I thought it was exciting to see that Kingpin and to start Maya in such a dark place for the series. Mm-hmm. So that we have room for her to go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, and I love that it's starting with, like, she's taking care of Kingpin, it's 5 months later, and it's not like, I have to be good, I have to be a hero, I can do good things, heroic things. It's not that she starts with. It's, Kingpin had his time, now it's time for a queen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, take over the criminal empire. Yes. Show me that dark path and then come back from it. Because it wouldn't be instantaneous, you know? It's not like she is immediately, you know, like, oh, I'm on the good side now because I had a conversation with the guy who killed my dad.
Mm-hmm. She realizes that Fisk is not the one that should be in control of her. But this is the only life she's known. And so she's ready to dive into that life and, like, just instead of letting him be kingpin, she wants to be the queen. And I love that. It's a great place to start the series. There's tons of space to grow and change. And I don't necessarily need her to become a hero, but I'm interested in her story. Like, I don't know where her story is going. I do think by the end, she's clearly the protagonist of the series.
She's not going to die like three episodes in, and then it's all about, like, Bonnie.
Well, whatever. It's about Bonnie being the echo of Maya.
Oh, there you go.
By the way, speaking of Bonnie, this is not a criticism, but, like, what are they doing? Okay, this is the second story about with, like, Native American heritage that we've gotten in 3 weeks.
Sure.
They start this episode with imagery that's very reminiscent of the Kahori episode.
Very reminiscent of the Kahori.
If you have not watched What If, the beginning of this, if you've seen What If, this, like, the beginning of this season will, the beginning of this episode reminds you so much of that. Like, it's so much like what they did in What If with one of the one-shot stories. And then Bonnie is the actress who played Kahori.
Yep.
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
I feel like they're not going to connect it, and it feels crazy to me.
It feels criminal to not connect it.
Right?
To not bring Kahori in. Like, yeah. I get that this is not necessarily Kahori's story, and they didn't know at the time that they were making this that she would take off in such a way, but, like, I need her to come to live action. And, like, it could be that in that weird wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey-ness of the multiverse that this, like, it's the same person. Like, they look the same, you know? Kind of like the Victor Timely of it all. Like, she's just in this time period.
It could be. It also could be that, like, she's a descendant. It also could
do that as well.
That, like, this anomaly that we see at the beginning of the episode could be, like, the same anomaly in how it happened in this universe. You know, like, maybe some of their people came back from, you know, those battles. Like, they talked about the battles and all the people lost, and we saw that other realm in What If. What if instead of staying, some of them come back and there's some sort of collapse, and using those powers, she saves her people, and that becomes the first Chaffta, I believe they said? Chaffa?
Chaffa. Chaffa was her name.
What'd they call her, though? The first...
It was the first Choctaw woman, or the first named Choctaw person.
Right. And I don't believe that's even the same tribe Kahori was a part of, right? Is that...
Correct.
But in the beginning of the Kahori episodes, they talk about how a bunch of different tribes were warring over those that sacred place or whatever over the lake. So it's like, okay, I don't want to stay too long on that, but, like, just know that we're all seeing it too, and, like, it's driving it's me kind of crazy. Yeah, I just wanted to know it wasn't just me. That's like a lot of like putting the same actress in this and. Having it,
very similar imagery with the pools, glowing water, inside the cave, underground. Like, it's all there. Yeah. And, like, the lighting up on the arms as she's interacting with that energy, very much also reminiscent of that episode.
Yeah. So I can totally buy that it's, like, a different way that went down. Like, that cave was interacted with differently in this universe. And that, like, maybe the story that they tell of their ancestors has something to do, like, actually had something to do with Tesseract energy. That's cool. I'm down with that as, like, a cool explanation for maybe some, like, spiritual elements to the show. We saw the bird right before she died. Her mom died, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's maybe some interesting symbolism or symbols there, and maybe it'll relate to, we can kind of explain it away in that, like, the ancestors are actually, like, Tesseract, like, infused beings or whatever.
Could be.
But we just don't know. Like, it's weird. It's just weird. Okay, moving on.
Echoes of the past.
Echoes of the past.
Ah? Well, okay, so, on a business standpoint, like, from a business note, if you will, we got the opening on this one showing that it is the Marvel Spotlight brand.
Yes, yes. First Marvel Spotlight.
Which seemingly does not... it tells offshoot stories, right? Like, if memory serves, right. The stories that are in the Spotlight brand don't necessarily affect the broader MCU as a whole.
That's what they said. They don't affect the broader MCU as much, and they're likely to be more adult.
Okay.
So...
That I'm cool with. I don't like, though, the... Like, it not... If it doesn't affect the MCU as a whole, or if it doesn't have any kind of stakes for the MCU as a whole, if it doesn't do anything to push the greater story forward at all in any way, then it becomes less important for people to see. And
I agree.
It's a story that like is highly inclusive as well. Like all of the deaf culture around it. Is a huge thing, and the disabled character and her being an amputee, like all of these things are like important for the general populace to see so that they can see that representation, and so that people who share that intersectionality have that representation as well. And if they make it less important, then they're just like, okay, yeah, we did that for a buck, like it kind of pisses me off.
I hear that, and I definitely hear it, especially with the like representation pieces and it being the first. It also just feels like a bunch of representation thrown into one property, and it being the first property, they're like, this one's a little less important. that feels shitty. I completely acknowledge that feels shitty. But here's my counterpoint to the Spotlight idea. I think we have been like begging for connectivity all these years.
Yeah.
And we've been begging for like smaller pieces of even just small pieces. Just give us something.
Just a little connective tissue.
And I'm with that. I'm all about that. But some of the best storytelling that has been in the MCU is the Netflix stuff, which was barely connected. And not to mention the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Tons of great stuff in there. Barely connected.
Barely connected.
And I think that maybe... The last phases, 4 and 5 so far, have been a lot more connected. Well, the shows have been more connected to the movies, but it has not necessarily been better for that. Especially better, I think some of the stories have been better for that because they've got amazing actors on these television shows that are like, movie level actors coming to do these roles. It's really great. But I'm kind of missing, like, even though we've had this era of phase 4 and 5 that feel more connected in some ways between the TV and movie sides are connected better. I think it's actually been bad for the brand overall. And instead of having like these little offshoot stories that we got to have, because Daredevil exists, there's like 3 amazing seasons of Daredevil.
Yeah.
That introduced all these characters. And now we're getting that continuation. I'm so excited for that continuation. I hope Punisher comes back. I hope Jessica Jones comes back. I hope all of them. I hope they all come back. I hope Luke Cage comes back. Danny Say Rand, even. Danny Rand. I was deciding whether to leave it out on purpose just to bother you or not.
Yep. Say his name.
No, you never say his name.
No, we don't say his name.
Don't say his name. Fisk.
So like I'm okay with having the offshoot stories that aren't really like crucial. Don't drive the whole story forward, because like the Defenders being so low level and street level, like they're not gonna push a Thanos level story forward, like obviously. But like to say that like this brand, this property is not as important, like this one's not as important, and to start with the one that has like of that representation is
fully with you.
Kind of shitty.
Fully with you. I think it's a weird misstep possibly, but honestly, I think that if they had thought of this idea of Spotlight before, Moon Knight probably would have also been Spotlight.
And,
and I believe Daredevil will be Spotlight. I think a lot of these shows will end up being spotlight shows and under that banner, but they're still going to be connected. They're just adult
books. Not required.
Yeah, they're not required reading, which is what people have started to have a problem with. It's just too much to watch. So, like, I can't watch The Avengers. I haven't seen... If back then we were like, I can't watch The Avengers, I haven't seen three seasons of Daredevil, like, you know, that would have been a real bummer, you know? I haven't seen eight seasons of Defenders. I better not watch Endgame, you know? Like, that's not what happened. So, I think this is a good direction. I think they're trying to go back to the model that worked for phases 2 and 3 so well. And I'm into it.
Yeah, and like, again, I'm absolutely cool with it. Is it, you know, as long as they're like, you know, this group is off over here doing their like not Thanos or Galactus or multiverse level things, like they're just trying to, you know, stop crime on the streets. You know, that makes sense. It's just like, I don't know, it feels like they should have either done the spotlight branding sooner.
Right.
Or waited until after this series.
Yeah. I feel what you're saying. I think that's a fair, it's a fair criticism for sure, but it is what it is. And I think they're just moving forward with it. And they're going to be calling a lot of things spotlight. I don't think this show will be alone in the spotlight brand. Now, I may be wrong. They may be like, this didn't work. Let's go stop calling everything spotlight. And this could be the only spotlight show we ever get. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be a trend. And I think it's going to be a positive trend for us getting grounded, cool adult stories that are not required reading, but like still could provide. Like, there's nothing... Nothing wrong with like Daredevil being like not required reading for all the kiddos.
Yep.
Because people are going to get their heads smashed indoors. And then all of a sudden you get Daredevil pop up in the next Spider-Man movie. You know, like I think that still can happen. And I think with the connectivity and it all being under the same studio like it is, I think that it can happen better. Anyway, let's talk about this episode.
Yeah, sure.
Before we dive deeper in this episode, let's talk about hymns. That's right. I said hymns.
Hymns. H-I-M-S.
That's right. Hymns.com, people. /MCU, to be exact. 52% of men over 40, which, let's face it, we've been doing this podcast 10 years. Much of our audience is now over 40.
They've grown with us.
And 52% of men encounter a certain problem with some form of ED between the ages of 40 and 70. But it's always been taboo, and I would like to say it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We get older, things happen with our bodies, and like, you shouldn't let shame keep you from experiences you want out of life. So, if you're experiencing any of these issues, you can go to hims.com/MCU. Hims is providing affordable access to ED treatment all online. I have used online pharmacies for certain things before. What's really cool is they don't require insurance. They just, you pay a low rate for a generic form of the drug. I went to my doctor and talked to them about a medication that I wanted to get on.
Yeah.
But going through insurance and doing all kinds of stuff was too hard. Like, it was way too complicated, and it was going to be more expensive, and it was going to be tricky. And then I ended up using online pharmacy, and it was really easy. I had the discussion with my actual primary care physician. If like, it's something you're interested in doing, it is a really easy and fast and discreet way of doing it. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable and discreet sexual health treatments, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to clinical proven generic alternatives to Viagra and Cialis up to 95% cheaper, with options as low as $2 a dose.
That is so much cheaper.
So much cheaper. And if you don't have like access to your to insurance, and insurance won't cover things, it can just be really, it feels like so many of these ads I read into my ADHD reads into them. But like, getting the right like pre-approvals for insurance things and stuff, it's so hard for me. And sometimes paying $2 a dose is just so much better for things. Hims is definitely the way to go if you're looking for this kind of thing. Process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Pretty great. People have so many hangups, and we always joke about how we don't kink shame around here. but like, for real, you just, sexual health is important and you should get the medical treatment you need for whatever ails you, as it were. To answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free and in discreet packaging. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments, online visits, ongoing shipments, and provider messaging. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if ED is getting you down, it's time to change that.
Start your free online visit today at hims.com/MCU. That's HIMS.com/MCU for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/MCU. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Give it a try, guys. So what did you think overall of, like, it's the characterization of Maya, I guess?
I was so excited, like, right from the beginning when it showed viewer discretion is advised. Mm-hmm. I was like, aw, snap, here we go. And then, like, at the top left, it says TVMA, graphic violence. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
Give me that!
It's interesting. It's funny. I think they did a really good job, like, with the character, though. Like, the Maya character... It's hard, but like I said, I'm a little annoyed we got 20 minutes before we got to something new because there was a lot of recap. But
yeah,
some of the things we did get for Maya is, like, she blames herself real hard for her mother's death.
Oh my God.
And I think that gives her a fire to that anger that I didn't know about before. And I think it fits her character well. Because I think that, and then she blames herself for pursuing the wrong killer all that time. Like, she's got a lot of anger. And it's built up around Fisk. And also, it would not surprise me if we found out Fisk was somehow involved in her mother's death too. Like, who cut the brakes? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, man. I really like that, like, Fisk has been this controlling force in her life. I love how he is so much like the Fisk we know. He's, like, manipulating other villainous characters to, like, do his bidding. And I think Maya is just a really rad character with a lot going for her and just so cool. And I love the depth the disabilities give to her character, but I love that she doesn't let them stop her at all. And she is just a total badass.
She leans into it. Like, there were a lot of things that I noticed in this episode that, like, I didn't notice in the Hawkeye series, even though there was, like, footage used from the Hawkeye series. Like, when she kicked in the door at the repair shop, at the auto repair shop, the Fat Man auto shop,
mm-hmm.
She kicked in the door with her right leg, which is the one that, you know, doesn't, like, that's her prosthetic. So, like,
yeah.
And I know that, like, you know, when amputees are on that leg all the time, it can get to the point where, like, man, that part is really freaking sore. Mm-hmm. I need to get off of this leg, right?
Yeah.
But she's kicking in doors with it. And then, like, she's using it in fights in awesome ways. Like, in the fight against Daredevil, like, she held on to her leg. She held on to that leg for a second and, like, built up some elastic power in her leg. And, like, right about the time he looked up, she just let it go. And it's just like, bah! Straight across his face.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, shit, Maya, get it!
One of my favorite things Daredevil did, I think she tries to flip him. She flips him in this very brutal way, and it looks like he's going to slam into the ground, but being Daredevil, he flips and just lands on his feet in this, like, really acrobatic way, and I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
It was such a cool fight scene.
Yeah.
With it being, you know, with it being a super cool one-er, like it was, and having the camera angle and everything go through the shelving where, like, all of those guns were stored, like, on those shelves, and he, like, dives through it, and the camera's, like, you know, preceding him, basically, like, leading us into that new area where they're gonna start fighting, and he, like, throws the shelf on her. Like, oh my God, it was so cool.
Yeah,
like, I feel like they pushed a new boundary there, because, like, you know, they had the camera go through the fence and kind of, like, be behind the fence, and you watch them fight from behind the fence. There was one part where I was like, oh, that's a clever cut, where, like, somebody got thrown up against the thing and it, like, took up the whole or like thrown up against the chain link fence and like the whole screen was taken over and they fell down. I was like, oh, that's clever cut, but still looks like a good one-er.
Yeah, no, for sure. And they did a really good job of making it. I think some of the camera angles and stuff were probably a little higher budget than some of the Daredevil stuff we used to have.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't not think about though, thinking about he seemed a lot more acrobatic in this one.
Yeah.
Like even more so than the brawler that he was in seasons 1 through 3 of Daredevil. But I can't help but think about when he flipped off the parking garage in She-Hulk. Yeah. And how like ridiculously acrobatic he is now. And I'm wondering if we'll see if this is an intentional progression or if this is just like, cause this was before that. And then like a little after that, we get the She-Hulk episode. So it's just like how badass he's getting and how acrobatic and how high flying his moves are now. Like
how much of a daredevil he is.
Yeah. Get that actual daredevilness in there.
And I love the use of his pull apart staff with the cable on it, where he's like whipping it to like grab stuff away from her or like knock guns out of her hand. Like so freaking awesome.
Yeah. Why do you think he left?
I don't know.
That was weird. Like maybe there was something more important going on. Maybe that's my headcanon, I guess, is that he heard. You know, he said he'd been watching them all night. Maybe there's something really important in that building that he's like trying to get done and he just needed to leave the fight.
Yeah, well, he said he'd been watching them all night and then those guys showed up and ruined everything.
So, who knows? Maybe there's a, you know, another kid in a basement somewhere he has to go save.
Sure. How'd you like the that awesome scene with Kingpin thanks you for your loyalty?
Ooh.
And just immediately just straight through the freaking, like under the jaw, through the back of the skull.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good stuff in this episode, but I feel like the show has just started because so much was recap. Like we got that all the stuff we're mentioning is that same Daredevil scene, the stuff from the beginning. And then she goes home and at home, not a lot happens. You know, we're really just getting a sense of what she's doing and she wants to take the fight back to Fisk.
Yeah. Well, we have to be like reintroduced to the hometown because like we only really got a snippet of it when she was a young child.
Sure.
And like apparently the Lopez boys, those Lopez boys are criminals.
Yep. I think it's weird because I understand completely why they did so much recap, but it's tough because I feel like there's not enough meat on the bones of this episode for me as a producer, seeing everything. But for people who haven't, this just feel, I'm sure this was very necessary. I was like,
it's a spotlight brand.
Well, exactly. I looked at the screen and I was like, man, 29 minutes of recap. Yeah,
I had the same reaction. Like, God, that's so much time spent on like the past.
That's when that like gunshot happened. It was about 29 minutes. And I checked it and I was like, man, that's crazy amount of recap. And my niece went, well, I needed it because she hasn't seen Hawkeye. So she just like, she was like, I don't know who this is. I don't know who these people are. She's like, I know Kingpin from like the cartoons, you know?
Wow. Okay.
So she's just totally brand new to watching this stuff. So, yeah. It was interesting watching someone who does not know any of these characters watch this episode because it was the complete opposite experience for me. Like she's needing every bit of context and I know all the context and I'm like kind of waiting on new stuff. Like it was a very weird dichotomy there.
I kind of felt like this was going to happen though. Like I was prepping myself to say, you know, on the episode that we record about it, like, oh yeah, it's a slow start to the season, but you know, we kind of expected that with, you know, it being a spotlight brand and like not having, like having to retell all of her stuff, like slow start. I was expecting that to happen. So it was still surprising though, that like even with the episode being 50 minutes long, when you first look at it, it was 29 minutes of recap.
Yeah.
And like, there was some new stuff, like we said, and that Daredevil fight was so good.
Yeah. Oh, there's some great stuff. And I really liked all the stuff in her hometown too. I like her cousin and her, and like, I'm excited to see how her and Bonnie's relationship develops. I really liked the mortician. I don't know.
I did too.
But that was funny. I did too. Like, you need a body fixed or a body gone. This is who you call.
And do you want me fixed or do you want me gone?
Let's start with fixed.
We'll start with fixed. And I love that she's like, ooh, dental floss. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, gosh, that wound looked terrible.
Yeah.
Love so much. But here's another criticism that I had.
Uh-oh.
If you're going to have the little girl wake up after the car accident.
Yeah.
You got to have her react to her leg being chopped.
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe she was in shock and she didn't even feel it yet, but, like, I was so nervous. Like,
she was too, like, she was too focused on, like, I did this to Mom.
I know.
I hurt Mom.
I know. But, like, at some point, that brain is going to turn to half of my leg is chopped. Like, I need to look what's going on down there. And she just never had a pained reaction, which I understand. Her not having a pained reaction, because I think a child doing that is really difficult. Maybe they shot it, maybe they couldn't figure it out. I understand for her character, it was more important for her to look at her mother and see her mother, but you just didn't need her to wake up at all, I feel like. And it would have been a better scene, because like her not reacting to her leg was like, first of all, I didn't want her to react to her leg. I had no desire to see that little girl like try to move her leg and realize it was like completely jammed through with a piece of glass. Like, I didn't want to see that.
Yeah, no.
But you showed it to me and made me nervous about seeing it, and then it never happened, and so it felt like this weird pregnant moment where it's like, why am I not seeing that? Why is she not reacting? You know? Like, I wish they just showed them both. You see the leg chopped with the glass, or, you know, skewered through with the glass, but she doesn't wake up. Like, that would have been a better scene for me. Because then also she would, like, sit there and think about her mother, and she'd still be... It makes more sense why her father not telling her about the mother. Like, because if she was awake, and her mother's laying there dead and won't wake up, like, it seems like she'd already know what's going on, too. So I thought that was a weird choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Honestly, for a lot of this, I thought you were meaning, like, when she woke up in the hospital bed.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, sorry, with her leg chopped.
Waking up in the car is an odd choice, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Waking up in the car.
Yeah.
I think she should have just stayed asleep. Like, it should have just been, like, a pan through, you see the leg, you see her mom, and then it pans away, you know, and then she wakes up in the doctor's office, or to the hospital.
Or, like, have her twitch and, like, start to open her eyes, and then, like, cut the scene there.
Yeah, cut to older Maya or something. I do think this episode... With as much they had to tell the general audience, I think it works really well.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think it could have been a little better if the like backstory had been interspersed with the modern story. You know what I mean?
If you intersperse all of the past stuff with the modern stuff, then you run the risk of having to stop for an ad break.
That's true. If you were a podcast and not a streaming TV show.
Yeah.
but let's do it. Let's do it. Let's talk about ZBiotics, man. What do you think of this amazing revolutionary product?
This revolutionary product is revolutionary. It's right there in the descriptive words, verbiage that we've used. It's game changing, right?
Yeah,
for sure. On, you know, we've had this this show come back that Ashley and I do, Legends and Libations, where we drink on stream and tell great stories, but for so long, so many times, it's been, I have like a 2-day recovery period afterwards because the consequences of drinking a bunch and having a great time sometimes catch up to you, especially when you have aged the way that we have. I'm older. I'm not spry and 21 anymore.
Not like our age is particularly bad, but just like, you know, we have aged like all of us have aged.
Yep. So, in comes ZBiotics to basically save the day after, right? You drink it before you start drinking, 0 to 120 minutes beforehand, and it counteracts the toxic byproduct of alcohol in the gut. And I honestly, every single time I've taken it, it has been a great next day where I can like do chores and stuff and not have to just lay in bed going, ugh, I feel like a zombie.
Yeah. Don't feel like a zombie. You don't feel like you're in a funk. You just have Z-Biotics as your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly. Pace yourself, hydrate, and get some good night's sleep, and you will wake up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, as many think, that's the blame for the rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break down this byproduct. ZBiotics, your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. It's a new year. A lot of us are trying to do better things with our bodies, do better. But you know what? That doesn't mean we can't have a fun night out. With ZBiotics, we can wake up refreshed the next morning and be ready to tackle the day. Keep that workout going. You can keep using that Vitruvian machine that is not yet a sponsor.
Man, if only they were a sponsor, right?
Go to ZBiotics.com/MCU to get 15% off your first order when you use MCU at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked.
I mean, if you're unsatisfied, like, send it to me. I will...
Yeah.
I'll use it.
Yeah. They'll give you money back, but we'll use it. Your podcast hosts will use it. Isn't that important? Yeah,
we need it.
Seriously, guys, zbiotics.com/MCU. MCU at checkout for 15% off. It's great. And we didn't mention this time, but it's in these really cool little vials that just feel like potions.
They feel like potions! Like, I feel like the Witcher.
Yeah, go be a Witcher. Get you some Z-Biotics. Throw a coin.
But no, the like, you run the risk of having that sort of, like, weird Arrowverse type of storytelling where, like, oh, I learned a lesson about this before that I forgot about. Or, like, this is relevant because of this stupid thing from my past.
See, I don't think that that's a problem with that type of storytelling. I think that type of storytelling is amazing. Lost, for instance. Like, I love that type of storytelling. Love it. But in the Arrowverse, they just overdid it. It was like the same character every week having some flashback to a thing he learned that informs the current story every week. So, like, I get...
Every single time.
And it was in chronological order mostly, which is, yep, also like, it'd be one thing if it was like doing a lot more jumping around, like, oh, I remember something in my life on the island. But yeah, it was mostly just like telling both stories. They just happened to have the same moral every week. but this, in this, I think it would have been very possible. Like, just start the story with her on the run, bleeding, and then she's like flashing back to, as she sees her hometown, she's flashing back to her life, you know? I think that totally...
The memories come flooding in, kind of, yeah, thing.
And she could get little flashes of the fight she had, and, like, the guns, and the fighting, and the blah, blah, blah. But then, like, the chronological order of this storytelling was a little, like... For someone who'd seen all the previous stuff, it was a little labored, I think.
Sure.
Do you think that Kingpin is faking his death?
I don't think... Oh, I get what you mean. I was like, he's not dead. He's clearly not dead.
No. Faking it because they called her the King Killer.
Yeah.
It's like, I think, yeah, I found the King Killer.
I think that he's letting people believe it, or he's unconscious and like in a coma and can't really say any way.
Right. He's alive though. We find he's alive. He's got his eye patched up, which I think we'd seen in the trailer. So
yeah,
I'm pumped about it.
I was like, we know Kingpin's not dead. We knew he wasn't dead. Like, you can't kill Vincent D'Onofrio.
No way. I've been watching a show called Godfather of Harlem, and he's one of the main gangsters in the show.
Okay.
And it's just,
not Luke Cage?
No, it's not Luke Cage. It's Godfather of Harlem, and it's just, but it's Vincent D'Onofrio in a gangster role. And, like, he's not at all the same, like, character. You know, he's very much, sure, just, like, he's not, like, murr. He didn't have the Edgar, yeah, voice that he does here.
Yep.
When I was a boy.
He didn't say it. He was supposed to say it. He had a perfect opportunity to say it.
He did. He was talking about when he was a boy.
It's like, my dad was killed. My father was killed as well. When I was a boy.
I had a lot of anger.
oh my God, how great though was it that he lied, or like he omitted that fact where he was like, my father was killed too. And like my girlfriend and I at the same time were like, by you.
Right.
Like, you did it.
Yeah. He could have said, so that actually would have been a really interesting, deceptive scene for him. Because the thing about Kingpin is he normally tells the truth. He just manipulates you while he's doing it. And so I really would have liked that if he'd been like, when I was a boy, my father was killed and I was left with a lot of anger. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look, I'm just like you, but really, no, I am the one who killed my father. Ooh, that would have been good. Why didn't they do that?
I mean, they did give him a little bit of, you know, deception in the, like, omitting that it was him who killed his father, but, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, admitting to it might not have been the right thing for the character. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know either. What'd you think of the, our dragons reel? That was from Hawkeye, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that footage was in Hawkeye.
Yes, which... I know... I don't know if we talked about it at that point... But, like, now that it's a spotlight show and it's, like, revisiting the Defenders realm of television, it feels very much like a reference to Danny Rand's story, to the Iron Fist.
Well, I mean, there's the dragons, like, the Great Protector dragon in Shang-Chi.
That's true.
There's the bones of a dragon under New York.
That is true.
From Defenders, like...
All good
points. Fin Fang Foom looks like a dragon.
I don't know what that is.
As a character that has not shown up yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. I remember you talking about him before. All right. Well, I am pumped about the series. I think, like, I said this on our Facebook chat, which if you're not on it, facebook.com/SPChat or /group/SPChat. Stranded Panda Chat is what it's called. If you search Stranded Panda Chat, you should find it. Stranded Panda is our network. The trailer that they put out this week was so freaking rad. And they made it very clear in that trailer that this is an extension of the Daredevil series. They showed clips from Daredevil. They showed clips of, like, Hawkeye and Wilson Fisk and, like, all the stuff that led up to this story. And it just seems like this is a direct sequel to the Daredevil series.
Yeah.
And that got us really pumped this week when we saw that. Like, them finally acknowledging the previous series and showing clips from the previous series. And... It just that combined with What If and Loki and some of the connections between those and some of the connections between this and possible Corey connections, like, has me so excited for the MCU. Like, I know that, like, this has been the year where the narrative is like MCU is over. Like, it's but, like, these three in a row, great series. Well, two great series and a good episode so far. Well, yeah. 20 minutes of a good episode.
Half a great episode.
Well, I really feel that way. I'm like, we're doing our first episode. And by the way, if you're hearing this, and it is Wednesday, this is going to drop Tuesday night, but Wednesday, you're probably listening to this, and it will be Wednesday night at what time? 4 o'clock your time. So it's 7, 6 central? Yes.
Yes. So, 7 Eastern, 6 central.
So we're going to go live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv. So go to twitch.tv/strandedpandatv at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We're going to go live with our reaction to episode 2, and then we're going to get offline, go watch episode 3, and then immediately hop back on and record that. So we're going to go just bang, bang, bang through these.
So, and then Thursday, we're going to do the same thing.
Yes. So I guess around 7, 6 central, skip an hour. So then it'll be like 9, 8 central when we finally get to somewhere in that realm. But if you want to join us for our podcast and rewatch, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to finish it up in the next 3 days. And those episodes will drop in the feed over the next 2 weeks, but they'll all be on Patreon by the end of the week. So patreon.com/MCUcast. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening this week.
Early and ad-free access.
That's right, early ad-free access, baby. Well, I am freaking pumped, man.
I'm ready to go watch episode 2.
Me too, and I
almost let it start playing when I was in the living room. I was like, no, I have to stop.
I have to stop, I have to podcast.
I gotta go podcast.
let's see if anybody, real quick in the chat. Miggy says opening scene was interesting. Is she getting powers? I don't think so.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that as much, I guess.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, how it connected to Corey, but we really didn't talk about the opening scene in general. I think it's just supposed to be like, and she had a flash of it in her memory too.
Well, it was in her, like she was waking up, right?
Yeah.
Like in her dreams.
Yeah. So I have a feeling it's going to be like sort of a supernatural element, but I think it's more to do with like, they said something about the first, I'm forgetting all of it, the first Choctaw or the first Choctaw
woman
or something like that.
Chaffa.
Yeah. Chaffa was the name of the character. The first Choctaw. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes.
And so, I think it's going to be like that character saving her people back then is going to be like something to do with what Maya is doing now. Like that bird is a representation of kind of the hero of her people. And so I feel like that might be what's going on with Maya. I think we'll encounter that bird again over Maya's shoulder, and she's going to do some cool stuff to save her people.
Now, there was a point in the beginning when Maya was younger, her grandparents were at the fire, like they were at the, in the backyard at the fire talking. When they were leaving that scene, the grandfather asked, asked her like, "What's happening? Are the ancestors speaking to you again?"
Yeah.
And he was like asking for something useful, like Powerball, which was like, it was hilarious, but it also seems like it kind of sets that precedent for, you know, the people in her family are able to communicate with echoes of the past.
Yeah. And it seems based on her seeing that bird and everything, it seemed like she saw that bird and that bird represents something to their people.
They had the bird on the palm, like in that cave scene.
Okay. My favorite kind of story like this is when they have religion type lines like that, but it's never really clear if they're real or not. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's, it just feels more realistic.
Like, oh yeah, that's the creation myth.
Yeah. So it's like, they can believe it. Things can happen that are either great coincidence or they're supernatural. And you just have to sort of like reconcile the two. I like that form of religion and storytelling.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping it will kind of stay. I'm hoping it will walk that line. I don't really want to see her get powers. I think that would be a little over the top for the Echo series.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, she's already pretty powerful as is, you know?
Yeah. She's a total badass.
Badass.
All right, my friends. Well, I think that's about all for our cast here. Thank you so much for everybody on Twitch who's been watching and chiming in over there. And we'll be back tomorrow to cast here on twitch.tv/JanetPennaTV. Again, Wednesday, 7/6 Central, we will be starting the cast for episode 3. So, is that right? Yeah. The time is so hard when we all live in different time zones, me, Jeff, and Ashley, which I guess we should mention.
7/6 Central, we're going to start episode 2.
Yes. Sorry. See, I'm messing up. I got the time right that time, and I messed up the episode number. But we'll be covering that tomorrow, episode 2, and then we'll jump into episode 3 right after. So, come join us on twitch.tv/JanetPennaTV if you want to hit us up. But what was I going to say? Oh yeah. And we miss Ashley. She was supposed to be here, but her power is out.
Her power's out.
Yeah.
The storm that flooded your basement.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't mention
it. Has gone to take her power away.
I was so excited. I didn't mention up top, but, yeah, this morning I woke up to my basement. Luckily, it was the part of the basement with a big concrete floor, so it wasn't like carpet, and it wasn't too bad, basically. But I did have to spend like three or four hours this morning, like bailing water out of my basement.
Oof.
It was not cool.
Is the bar okay?
The bar is okay, I think, unless there's something that got like under things. But for the most part, the bar seems okay.
Okay. Are the tabletop games that were down there okay?
They're okay. They were up off the floor.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, indeed.
I was worried.
Me too. But there was like a good 3 inches of water down there. It was pretty bad.
Oof.
But spent all day bailing it out. Got it done. And I'm glad we got to do this cast tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.